It's good to see everyone here today. It looks to me that primarily, if not exclusively, it's the home folks today. It looks like that's the case. And we're glad that so many are here because we do have several families, as was mentioned, that are kind of limited with what they can do with the sickness and illness that is in their home. We also have numerous individuals that are shut in that we need to keep in our prayers. We had a number of visitors in the 9 o'clock hour, but they weren't able to stay and be with us for the class or the evening, the second worship period. We are glad that you're here, glad for this opportunity we've had to worship together, and looking forward to the lesson that we want to share with you at this point in time. I just wanted to note that this past week I was watching a report on the television about the long lines that were being experienced when individuals were in some of the urban areas waiting to cast their votes in the presidential election. Some of them were waiting hours, and you hear about this about every 4 years. There are some places to where there's just so many who are trying to vote at a particular time that it just takes a while. Never been that case in River Oaks. Here in River Oaks, there's not that many citizens, and you can. I don't think I've ever had a presidential election where I've had to wait in line at all. You go in and you sign your name, and there's usually empty places to vote. But waiting in line is kind of a part of life. If you go to the grocery store, you have to wait in line. If you go to the gas station, post office, the bank. Banks are especially difficult right now. I know that the Bank of Texas, where I do most of my banking in Lake Worth, they didn't even have their interior open, and we'd have to, and their drive-thru was closed, and you'd have to stand in the heat and just wait in line for their one teller outside. And on the first day of the month, which is when I do my banking, it's a long line there. So I didn't particularly like that line. The longest line I've ever sat in was a couple of hours line to ride the Texas Giant at Six Flags. And I tell you what, that was a long time, but it was worth it because I enjoyed riding that. But 2 hours to ride a 30-second ride is a little bit off the deep end, I suppose. And so I wanted to start off by noting those things and ask that question. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to wait in line? If everywhere we went, it was just easy to do it. One of the things I talk with Josh about it a lot, and he indicates that he likes to do everything online, because when you do everything online, you don't have to wait. You do all your banking online. You can do most of your grocery shopping online, all these different kinds of things. And for some of us, that's just a new thing that we're – another new thing that's a little bit difficult to get into. But he does that because he hates waiting in lines. And I think we all do. But there are some things for which Christians don't have to wait in line. And I want to talk about that in our lesson today. They're constantly available to us without any delay at all. But even though we don't have to wait in line for them, I am afraid that from time to time we are not availing ourselves of their immediate access. And so it's something that we need to get in the habit of doing. We need to desire. Talking about waiting in lines and not have to, just to give you an illustration. One of the things that I love to do whenever someone asks a question or not an answer for it is just Google it. And the interesting thing is, even while you're in the midst of the discussion before the next point is made, often you can do a Google search and you can have the answer to the question. And my kids just hate that. They talk about, there goes Dad again Googling it. And but that's something that's interesting to me. And now that I've gotten a Google speaker in the home, I don't even have to type it in. I can just say, hey, Google, and uh-oh. I probably activated about 15 phones just then. But I can just request that, and as a result of that, it will talk to me and tell me what I'm wanting to know just like that. And so I'm not always in the habit of it. I forget sometimes I've got the speaker, but that's kind of a neat thing to have that. And I just want to make note of the fact that we sometimes do not avail ourselves of the access that we have, the immediate access that we have to things of God. And I want to encourage that in the lesson this morning. So we're going to start off by making note of the fact that there is no waiting in line to be heard by God in prayer. There is immediate access to God. And when you think about what that means, what that entails, when you talk about, can you imagine someone who has the right ear of the president of the United States, who would be able at any point in time to pick up a phone and to call him or to walk into his office? without any hesitation, without having to wait in line, immediately had access to the most powerful man in the nation. Some people say the most powerful man in the world. That would be an amazing thing to have that access. There are very few, if any, who do have such access to the President of the United States because of the security problems, the protocol, and the fact that they're very busy. But we have access, immediate access, to the Almighty God of heaven, a God who cares for us and who loves us and who is always willing and able to listen to the request that we make to him. There are a number of shows and comedies and everything that I've come across with regard to prayers being answered. And like there are a lot of angels that are sitting at these terminals and they're trying to make the email request and send them on to God and try to prioritize these things because it takes so long to do all of it. Because after all, these prayers are offered up from the whole world and men just cannot really comprehend what it means to have that direct access to the Almighty God of heaven. The fact that he's always available to the Christian when the Christian offers prayers up to him. A couple of passages which I want to make note of in this regard. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, which tells us that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But you know, that's a double negative there. What that means is we do have a high priest who can empathize with our weakness. But instead, this high priest, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so as a result of that, because he was tempted as we have been tempted, because he is our go-between, the one who makes petitions for us, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and help and find grace to help in time of need. So whenever need is there, we can boldly approach God in prayer, knowing and understanding that because Christ is our high priest, that God will listen to the petitions that we make. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle John makes the same basic point when he says, we have confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we asked of him. That secures for us that understanding and recognition that not only when we offer up our prayers at any time, offer up the prayers before God the Father, that not only does he hear us, but he answers those prayers. Now, we're not advocating from the pulpit that Jesus answers or God answers our prayers immediately, or that he always answers in the positive. In that regard, sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes we must be long-suffering and patient with regard to his dealing with us. But we do have the recognition and understanding that God does care and God answers the petitions that we offer to him in the name of his Son. James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us if we lack wisdom, we can ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We can obtain wisdom by asking those prayers to God. There's no waiting in line for this. There's no excuse for us to say. Now, sometimes we'll say, you know, I'm too busy. Can you imagine such a thing? I'm too busy to pray when God is never too busy to heed or to listen to or receive our prayers. The fact is that you should not ever be too busy to pray to God. That should be a priority. That should be that we should pray without ceasing, that we should always be carving out opportunities, times each and every day to ask God, to make petitions to God, to make requests and to praise his name, to talk to God. Because we know that if we do so, that he will hear us. We don't have to wait in line for that. We can do it anytime, night and day. So that's something that's important to consider, but there are many things that we can talk about. For example, we can also talk about the fact that the spiritual blessings that come to Christians are unlimited and that they are immediate. There's no waiting in line to receive spiritual blessings from God. Now again, we do understand that God does not always answer prayer immediately, but we're talking here about what comes with the relationship as a result of our standing with God. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we open ourselves to God and we seek to serve him, then the Lord showers his blessings upon us every single day. Isn't that a glorious thing? We don't have to wait in line for those kinds of things. The efforts that God makes on our behalf are abundant and they're never ceasing. And there is never a bottleneck because of His ability to perform what He has promised to us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we are told that He is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. One of the interesting things about the internet and about the progress that has been made with regard to technology is what can be done now which could not be done before. When we first started, or I first started with the internet, it was on a 386X. I figured out how that was, but it wasn't a full-blown 386 computer. There was a second thing that you put on there to say it was kind of an interim between the 286 and the 386. That's what I was using with a 14.4 modem, and I was on America Online. And you know what happens is the modem kicks in, you hear the screeching, and then the handshake, and then it says, "You have mail." And from the time that you click on the button to connect to the actual connecting to it to get your mail, it sometimes would take a number of minutes. And the mail could only be digital. There could not be files attached or pictures attached, those kinds of things. Whereas now I've got this little phone, and I can open it. I can turn it on, and it's turned on always in my pocket, but I can pick it out of my pocket and get on, and I'm immediate access. It's amazing how things have changed. And now we've got from 4G LTE now to 5G, and I don't know if anybody has a 5G phone, but that's going to be revolutionary as well. And the pipes are bigger, the data is larger, it's an amazing thing, and we still complain about how slow things are, but it's amazing how things have changed. But those bottlenecks that were present at that time, they still happen from time to time. That's why you get that little circle going around in your browser or as you're watching Netflix or something like that, because it's loading these things, it's buffering these things. That doesn't happen with God. God, if you think about the supply chain, if you think about the delivery of the blessings, you think about all of the blessings that God intends to give to us, and how every single day, just like Amazon, there are all these blessings going out from God to His people, how that it might take some time to get there, but it doesn't, because God is able to supply and do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. There's no limitations to God. And as a result, there was that appeal in verse 21. To Him be the glory in the church because of who He is and because of what He has accomplished for us and can accomplish for us. It is right for us to praise Him because He is our omnipotent and omniscient God in heaven. Philippians 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and His glory," or riches in glory, "by Christ Jesus." And by the way, as we talk about those abundant blessings that we don't have to wait in line for, it is because of the relationship that we sustain by Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places come through Him. It is a result of the relationship that we sustain with Jesus as our Savior. Third point, what about praise and worship? Praise and worship to God. Do we have to wait in line for that? One of the things that's kind of interesting, because there is no waiting in line to praise and worship the God of heaven, is that we primarily come together on the Lord's Day to worship Him, do we not? As a congregation of God's people, we engage in what could be referred to as congregational or corporate worship. We have five acts of worship that we enter into as we come together on the first day of the week. We sing songs of praise to Him. We offer up prayers to God. We partake of the Lord's Supper, which is limited by example and inference to the first day of the week. But we also lay by in store on that first day. And we on the first day of the week also hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But do you understand and recognize that while it's right to do that on the Lord's Day, you don't have to wait till Sunday to worship God. You don't have to wait till Sunday to praise Him and to lift up the songs that we sing or the prayers that we have to offer or hear preaching done. Those kinds of things can be done at any time. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, "By Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Don't hesitate to worship God in song every day. You remember Paul and Silas, they were in prison in Acts the 16th chapter, put in stocks, and despite that fact, they were singing a hymn and the prisoners were listening to them. Acts 16 and verse 25. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, as instructions he's given to individuals in the church, but these were individuals that he was speaking to at this time, talking about their individual actions, he asked, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone among you is cheerful, let him sing songs." What are these psalms that we're to sing? Those psalms that we sing are words of praise to God. Are you cheerful? Is there a reason for you to be happy in your life? You don't have to wait till Sunday to sing a song of praise to God. You can sing those songs of praise to God always. Lift up your praise to God, and that can be worship. One of the precious things is when you see a mother with her children, either before bedtime or just at some time in the day that they have set aside, teaching the children the songs that we sing here in worship. Singing along with them the songs that they sing in their Bible classes. What that is worship to God. It's not entertainment that we're offering at that time. It is enjoyable. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing songs. But it's not merely that we're passing the time or we are entertaining ourselves. It is actually worship that we offer up to God. Paul and Silas were not whiling away the time. Paul and Silas weren't just doing something to get their mind on something else. They were worshiping God. They were lifting up praise, singing hymns to God, praying to God. They were worshiping Him even in that difficult time. So there is no waiting in line to praise and worship Him. We can do it at any time. It is our right and privilege as children of His. I want you to know also the importance of this truth. There is no waiting in line to read and learn more of God's Word. It is an amazing thing, the access that we have to the Bible. When you talk about all of the other books that have been published in the history of mankind, the Bible far and away is the leader. With regard to numbers of copies, both physical and now also electronic copies that we might have, digital copies we might have. And also with regard to the number of languages in which the Bible has been translated into. It's an amazing thing. There is absolutely no excuse for any individual to not have access to God's Word. I don't know, it's been probably 20 times over the past 10 or 15 years that someone has come to me and said, I need to give someone a Bible. Someone needs a Bible. Do we have any that we can give? And I simply walk into here and because I like the New King James Version, I'll pick up a Pew Bible and I say, give it to them. There's no reason for anyone not to have access to God's Word. It is everywhere. I was looking at the internet just yesterday, and there's a Christian lady who was talking about she was changing, or she'd gotten a tablet like the one that I have and was not yet ready to figure out how to use it yet. And someone told her, oh, you can put your Bible on it. She said, well, I've got 12 versions on my phone. So here is this lady, she's 80 years old or in her 80s, I believe, and here she has access to God's Word in 12 languages on the little screen that she holds in her hand. Amazing, amazing thing. So why is it, with all the access that we have to God's Word, the fact that the Bible is the most accessible book on earth, that we're not as familiar with that will and Word as we ought to be? How is it that so many people have access to what is widely considered to be God's will for mankind, and yet they've not opened the book to discern and to embrace the truths that are found within? Brethren, it is a precious blessing that we have. You don't have to wait in line, and they had to in times past. Before the printing press, it was the practice of the Catholic Church to have one Bible in each diocese, in each building. And it was used by the priest to read out of from time to time in the service, but the people weren't allowed to look at it. It was written in a language, the language is Latin, that most of them could not read. And they did not have access to the Word. And the idea that the Catholic Church had was, just leave that to the priest, because that Bible is a dangerous thing. And without the priest to tell you what it means, you may go off the deep end in some way. So they had the priest tell them what the Bible taught, and tell them what to believe, and tell them what doctrines and traditions to hold that were established by the church. And people just meekly accepted it because they didn't have access to the Word. But that's not the case anymore. We have immediate and full access to God's will for us. And as such, we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. We are to, as Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, to give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. And I've heard many people tell me, you know, I don't really enjoy reading. And I recognize that. Some of us are readers. Some of us are not. And I understand that you may not read recreationally. And there are a lot of people who, as a part of their work, they have to read a lot. And it may be that they've gotten the habit of reading on their phone things that interest them. But as far as reading a book, they're not interested. And that's okay. That's fine. You don't have the right. And that is not an excuse if you were a child of God to neglect imbibing in what the Word of God has to offer. Of delving into it. Becoming familiar with it. That's the exhortation that we all have, to give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Two final points that I want to share with you that are a little bit different here. I want to address those in our number who may not yet be Christians. And I want you to think about this, that if you're not a Christian, there is absolutely no waiting in line to obey the gospel. You can do it at any time you wish to do it. My favorite story with regard to conversion has to do with when I taught Debbie the truth of the gospel of Christ. And I've mentioned this before, but it's very special, of course, to me, because Debbie became a child of God in part as a result of my teaching her the truth. And so I remember her being a member of the Baptist church and attending there. We began dating and we began studying together. And I don't know if she had been waiting for me to ask the question, but I finally got up the gumption after we had studied for a period of time. And she had learned sufficiently the truth. I went to Acts the 8th chapter with the Ethiopian eunuch and I said, notice as Philip preached the gospel that he asked the eunuch, as they went in, they say, case some water. And the eunuch said to him, see, what is keeping me, what is hindering me from becoming Christian, from being baptized? What's hindering me from being baptized? And so I asked her that same question. I said, we've talked about all of these things. You've been in agreement with these things. What's keeping you from being baptized? And she said, nothing. She was ready to do it. And so we did it in the same hour of the night. And she became a child of God. She had reached that point where that's what she desired. She didn't want to wait any longer. And when she was asked, what's keeping you? What's holding you up? What's stopping you? There was nothing that was stopping her because she believed the truth that she was taught. She believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in our number, there are individuals who are not yet Christians who have been hearing the truth preached for a long time. They have parents who have taught them, or maybe others that I'm not aware of. And so you ask that question, what's keeping you from becoming a child of God? It's an answer or a question that you have to answer for yourself. But if there is anything that is hindering from that, you need to take care of that. You need to deal with those things. If it's questions that you have, ask those questions. Understand if you're not a Christian, you're lost in your sins. But you should know that there are things you don't have to wait in line for. And the most important one of those is this. There is no waiting in line to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God does not want you to delaying obeying His commands. To delay in that. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, cast out demons, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work, practice lawlessness. God expects each of us to do the will of the Father. And it's something that is available to any of us at any time. In Acts 16 and verse 33, we've got the example of the jailer in Philippi. And we are told that as the prison doors were opened, that he thought that the prisoners would escape or had escaped, and so he was ready to kill himself. And Paul told him, wait, we're all here. And his question was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I don't know when the jailer asked that, if he meant, what do I need to do to avoid being killed physically? Or did he mean, you're obviously from God, tell me what I need to do to have my soul saved? But what I do know is that Paul took it to mean he wanted to know how to save his soul. He ignored the other part, but he told him what he needed to do. In the same hour of the night, we're told in verse 33. Acts 16, verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night as he heard that gospel proclaimed and washed their stripes, which was a sign of his penitence. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Remember the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 where the Apostle Paul says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the wonderful thing concerning those who become obedient to the gospel of Christ, and something you need to recognize if you're not a Christian, is that when you become obedient to the gospel, there is no waiting in line before you're saved from your sins. In other words, there's no time that passes between the point where you become obedient, you do what God says, and the effect of that happens. It is instant. It is immediate. One of the interesting things about Catholic doctrine as it departs from what is found in God's Word and takes on these human man-made traditions is the concept of purgatory. That even faithful Catholics, as they've gone to confession, as a result of the sins in their lives, there's going to be a time where they will spend in purgatory, where prayers will be offered in their name, and they will spend that time of suffering, of refining, so that they will be worthy of heaven. Now, how long that's going to last depends upon how much they have to make amends for it. It depends upon how much money is offered in their name or how many prayers are offered in their name. All of that is impacted. But the fact is, they didn't get to go to heaven in the judgment. They have to go to purgatory for a while before they get there. That's the Catholic doctrine. But when you look at this concept of pardon that is found in God's Word, there's no distinction. Remember in Acts chapter 22, when they were baptized, when Paul was baptized, or Saul of Tarsus on that occasion, the call was, "Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." The washing away of sins is something that is instant. It happens right then. The act of baptism washes away the sin. You go down into the watery grave and rise up as a new creature in Christ, as Romans chapter 6 tells us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. The apostles preached the gospel, and the Jews on that occasion said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That's why it's done, so that the sins will be remitted. They'll no longer be held against you. At that point of baptism, those sins are done away with. And we're told in verse 41 that as those gladly received his word and they were baptized, that day 3,000 souls. That day 3,000 souls were added to who? To the church. To the saved. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. There's no delay in this regard. What does that mean? That means that if you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, today you can be baptized to have your sins washed away in response to the gospel preached. And today, as a result of having your sins washed away, you can rise up as a new creature. Today you can have that relationship with Jesus Christ and that hope of eternity. It is instant. You don't have to wait in line for it. If it is not happening, it is not because of any lack on the part of God, any unwillingness that is found here, and no line that you have to get at the end of. You can be baptized. You can be saved this very day. When Jesus returns, understand this, there will be no waiting for judgment. When Jesus comes, that's it. That is the end. All will be raised from the dead to stand before the Almighty God all at one time. We had John 5 read, verses 25 through 29 by Brother Jim. In verse 28 it says, "Don't marvel. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." As Paul said in Acts 17 and verse 31, "He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and given assurance to us by raising him from the dead." Those who have done good will be raised to eternal life, but those who have done evil will be condemned. There is a reason for us as Christians that we eagerly wait for the return of Jesus. Because we know, without any wait, without any delay, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We don't know exactly what we shall be, but we do know that we will be as He is, and we will be in His presence eternally. We will rise up to meet Him in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. And we eagerly wait for that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Understand this, it may be that Christ will tarry long. His long-suffering is not without end, but He has been long-suffering for thousands of years. But you can have the relationship with Him today. And as a result of that, you can be among all Christians who are looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. And you can eagerly look forward to that, because that day will not be just a day of judgment, but it will be a day in which you will receive your eternal reward, which is a crown of righteousness, which you will wear for eternity in His presence. Stop waiting. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We offer the invitation to all who are here today, for whatever reason, if you have a need, please don't wait. You don't have to. You can take advantage of what you have now, and we ask that you come while together we stand and while we sing.